This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wakey, wakey.
That was a close shave.
Oh, I'm sorry, Donald.
Kia ora, good morning and welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, guys.
Not much of morning, though.
No, you say you survived a week of boring Republican...
Well, let's face it.
...diatribe and...
It's been Trump.
It's been hard.
It's been Trump week.
Yeah.
Anything else has really been a secondary matter, or fifth to secondary matter. Trump's has dominated the media, dominated American mindset, dominated the sadly dominated the Western world. You know, but you got to hand it to him.
It was a PR moment, wasn't it?
He. Most people, you would have thought, what we do? You've just been shot. You'd realise you're hurt. You probably thought, I'm okay, but you still would be in panic mode, everything else, because this isn't a fight. This isn't someone who's been in war lots or anything else. In the war, in the courtrooms, etc., but not physical wars. He had the presence of mind to know this is my moment, and he seized it, basically. And then, of course, and, of course, the media then takes photos of it. It gets replayed around the bloody world. That's handed them the election, in my opinion. You know, you have to do something extremely wrong not to lose to select the presidential election.
And then
the photo of him with the bloody face and the fist and the guards all around him, they call it the Iwo Jima moment.
Yeah.
Because the photo just looks like the soldiers trying to put up the flag.
Yeah.
Even that was reenacted too. But
that was a BS moment, that one.
But you have to say, I'm not a Trump fan at all, but he was quick-witted enough to grab that moment. And that will probably propel him to be the next president, I would say.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, and okay, I blame the Democrats to a large extent because... Instead of realising and saying to Joe, it's time to retire, etc.
That's just gone on.
Propped him up as a mummy, to try and get him through the elections. And,
It's a saga that's just gone on and on and on.
It's almost embarrassing, really.
Of course, it's embarrassing. And you've got the bottom line. Even if he did was to win, and if he stays in and he is to win it, is he going to see the next 4 years out after that? That's next January, and then he's got 4 years on top of that. If he can't string three words together now, so that's mean whoever's the vice president is going to pick up the presidency, which is Kamala Harris. Yeah. So why didn't they just run with her?
And have her running mate.
And then get some more new blood in or whatever. But the Democrats have dropped the ball on this. And then, of course, the assassination attempt has just played into Trump's hands. You know?
Yeah. Everybody will have an opinion on that attempt. Was it an assassination attempt?
Oh, I'm convinced it was, and just because the guy was young, like I just thought, sure, it balls up by the security systems and all that, and you might argue why didn't they do that, etc. But you know, he has these rallies all the time, and I just think they got complacent, you know. We'll never know because the guy who did the shooting is dead.
But he got links to the Republicans anyway.
Just briefly because he made a donation to them or something. But $15, he's a 20-year-old, you know. The bottom line is but he obviously was quite a good shot because, as I say, it was only by luck that Trump didn't get a headshot, you know, and to kill him, you know. Yeah, you know, your ear's quite close to your head, unless you're Christopher Luxon.
There's an empty space, isn't there? A vacant lot.
Yeah. So anyway, on the, can we just go through that a little bit? We might as well, because everyone else has. I just thought that the whole Republican conference, you know, what do they call it? Convention. What do they call the thing?
It's convention.
Convention, yeah. Was just a rollout of personalities. There was no...
Same thing over and over
again.
They were
all just... selling the president, selling themselves. It was just a show. It was just like...
I think the moment I really did cringe was when Donald Trump Jr. brought his daughter out.
Yeah, I just thought, no. Yeah, it reminds me of jingoism.
Yeah.
You know, just this out-of-touch lot, but they know what the people want to hear, and they just repeated it one after the other. Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt. It was just a show, but it just shows you the depth of how many Americans are. They love it. They lap it up. They're pretty shallow. Yeah, what do I call about American? The Vivek Sanswamy, you know, he stood, had a go at the presidency, the nomination for the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He's the American, I think he's from India, his ethnicity or
Swami,
whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was slick, he had great speech and all that if you're a Republican, etc. But he just talked, you know, just made out, look at me, I can do this because I'm in America and I am like I am, we can all be like this.
No, but this is what they sell. It's a fallacy.
It's a fallacy. And I just thought, American dream type of guy, this, I felt like being sick, but, you know, and it just shows you.
A few times.
It's sort of like exceptionalism and narcissism and willful ignorance all mixed up.
Yeah.
But they believe it. And then you think, no wonder they back Israel. No wonder the Israelis are like that, because they're a product of America. It's just, they're just incredibly narcissistic. And this exceptionalism, they call it exceptionalism as like, oh, well, you know, that's exceptionalism because we're better than everyone else. That's what they believe, right? But, to me, it's just narcissistic.
I thought we got rid of Circus of Freaks.
No, yeah.
Apparently they've shown up again.
And Vance is the nominee for the vice president. And he's very much in the same Trump line, etc. Now he didn't used to be.
No,
but what I thought was interesting about Vance, he's definitely not keen on Ukraine. Which is interesting, but and that's where I think many of the Republican speakers said, oh, you know, we need to stick to being at home, which that rings...
Isolationism.
That rings well with a lot of Americans who are not doing very well. They think, yeah, why are we doing this? Because if you've got a job at the tank factory, you're doing fine. Yeah. Overtime and benefits and sick pay and all that sort of thing. But if you haven't, so that resonates.
That resonates with them. But,
yeah.
But those same people at the petrol pump don't ask those questions. Oh, well, I'm struggling here, but Mr. Vance, you appear not to be struggling. You're doing very well, thank you.
Yeah.
Why is that?
But they sell that as this is the American opportunity, and the peasants still buy into that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they still buy into it. Well, they've got a big house at the beach because they work harder than me.
Apparently.
You know?
Well, I must do the same.
Yeah, and I don't know why I haven't, but okay, that's how it is. And they believe that.
Yeah.
BS. You know?
Those are the shares from the war, weren't you?
The other person I thought on it was Tucker Carlson, and he spoke because he's sort of thing, and he got sacked from Fox for being too sort of inquiring about Israel and amongst others. But he said there's something. I thought he was more honest, although he sucked up to Trump. He was more honest because he said, how come we turn a blind eye to the fact that there's more people in the last 4 years of the Biden administration, don't quote me exactly, but that's what he's implying, who have died in America of drug overdoses than the USA servicemen that were killed in World War II? And he said, you know, why are we so busy to have a war in Ukraine, etc., and we don't look in our own backyard? And I thought, well, that's a real truth, you know?
And that happens all over the world.
Yeah.
But it happens here.
Yeah, it happens here.
And it's like America just says, oh, well, that's a cost, but we don't care about them.
There's always money for war.
Yeah.
Well, how many people have died during the Trump presidency, the last one, the same thing. Were those figures brought up?
Yeah.
Highly unlikely.
No, but it just shows you that there's still that. I was impressed. At least Carlson brought it up rather than they just whitewash it. Mm. That the whole thing is America loses tens of thousands of people through drug overdose. But we're quite happy to have a war in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, I go back to my other question about that. What happened during the previous Trump presidency?
And this has been going on for. Both parties basically have been following the same line. As George Galloway would say, two cheeks of the same ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And this has been going on for decades.
Yeah, because there's money in war. America makes its money out of munitions and exporting war and energy. You know? And, yep.
But if you vote for Trump, and as you say, if it's a shoo-in for him, be careful what you vote for.
Mm.
Because there is a thing called Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah.
And I'll read about that. Their aim is promoting a collection of conservative and right-wing policies proposals to reshape the US federal government and consolidate executive power should Trump win the 2024 presidential elections.
So it's setting him up to be king.
So what are they looking at? Replace tens of thousands of federal civil service workers with Trump acolytes. That's one point. Abolishing the Education Department, dismantling Homeland Security, cut funding for Medicare and Medicaid, which probably runs counter to what Carlson is. Just exacerbate it.
Yeah.
Cut funding for climate research and promote fossil fuels. Partisan control of Justice Department, FBI, Commerce Department, Federal Communications Commission, and Federal Trade Commission.
Partisan control of arms of government. That sounds like a fascist government.
It's fascism.
Yeah.
And, of course, who did they blame all the way through this conference?
Yeah.
The immigrants coming through the through the southern border.
Yeah, but that's just a tip of the iceberg stuff. There was a lot of stuff that was... I read it.
Something like 900 pages or something.
Yeah. The Heritage Foundation's made up of by people like Kevin Roberts, Russell Vought, who's a Trump strategist, John McEntee, Paul Danes, and others. And one of the others is Ben Carlson, the former Secretary of Housing under Trump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was he the African-American guy?
Yes. Trump denied knowing the personnel of the Heritage Foundation when he was asked.
Yeah, right.
But thank goodness Mehdi Hasan had done some work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, he's good.
And he pointed out these little snippets where Trump actually introduced people like Kevin Roberts and Russell Vought and friends.
Yeah. He also clued in on the contents of the Project 25.
Yeah.
Do Americans care?
No, they don't.
Numbers?
That's the problem. They're relying on it.
Because we've had right-wing Tories here go off to various right-wing think camps, in Europe and America, and it's...
Well, how dare you talk about oxymorons, right-wing think tanks? I think it's a think tank.
Yeah. So, I just think, but will that affect the voting public?
Yeah, not really.
They think it's not going to affect them.
Yeah.
So they go along with it, and then somewhere along the line, too late, they're also caught up in it, and they're on the receiving end of this stuff.
Or that they buy into it and get themselves a black shirted uniform,
With
a badge on it.
The liberal-minded US citizens, the rational ones, will be concerned.
Yeah,
the Republican Party is no longer the Republican Party, it's Trump Party. It's built around a cult figure.
Yeah.
But all around him, and that's the hallmark of fascism, authoritarian type regimes. You have a cult figure who presents themselves as a law and order. I can deal with problems because I can get rid of those people.
Migrants, illegal migrants.
Never mind he causes the problem in the first place.
No.
But that's kind of ignored.
But it's quite scary that this is the choices for America. You've got someone who... Is dangerous with his ideology, he's a populist, but his ideology. Who's in bed? Like you say, who's actually in bed with Trump? Make all these.
You've got these people here, but as I said, it's the tip of the iceberg stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But what's interesting is the Democrats are having their conference, and this is why I say there's not much difference. It's a show. The big players just play these two off and make out to the people. Look at the difference between them. There's no real difference between the Democrats and the Republicans.
No.
It still keeps the status quo going. It's still going to be Israel's bedmate no matter what. You know,
I think that Trump will be the worst bedmate.
Yeah,
to be frank.
Yeah, but I say Biden has certainly showed that.
But
how much worse can you get? In reality.
The thing is, in that Heritage Foundation stuff, that there's real heavy Christian Zionist bull basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know under the Trump regime, the previous one, the U.S. embassy was moved to Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
So that just proves how serious this is.
But as I say, you've got two choices. And
they're both stark.
And they're bloody awful. You know. And the trouble is you've got Robert Kennedy Jr. and you've got Jill Stein from the Greens who both offer alternatives, but they don't get the airtime.
No.
So, you know, they're on the fringe. And the system is the first past the post. It's very hard to break into, even if you get 10% of the vote, you can get no seats, which we saw in the UK.
Yeah.
Look at that, you know, some of those parties got big votes and struggled to get a seat. So you have to win that particular electorate. Same happened here when we had first passed the post.
Yeah. But
it'll be interesting to the Democrats because, of course, Chicago has got a large American, Arab American population, had big demonstrations for Palestine. And so they... And the Democrats, I think they'll get a lot harder time than the Republicans. Because let's face it, the Democrats are the ruling government. The ruling government is the one that is sending a little bit of aid to Gaza, which the Israelis consequently mainly block. And but it's mainly sending weaponry.
Yeah.
Also, that kills people.
They're also, pundits are saying that the Democrats have basically been taking African Americans for granted.
Oh, absolutely. A few have done a ride out of it, but they just rely on them following their leadership, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. So I don't think, I think you said, Mick, a lot of people won't vote. The young ones might not vote. The Democrats are trying to say, you need to vote for us to keep Trump out.
Not because they're any better.
No, but should you? Just vote on that purpose?
It's a difficult one.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, well...
Because if you don't, then the other lot will get in by default.
Yeah.
Which is going to happen, I'd say.
Which is going to happen, but then if you still vote for the guy and say, well, he's slightly better, but he's still been responsible for supplying how many weapons that have killed people around the world.
Yeah, as you say, Fred, the US citizens have two awful choices.
And the big names.
Unless they put all their votes behind the minor candidate.
Yeah.
Candidates.
A lot of them won't even know about Jill Stein
unless they're, what I said, liberal, rational thinking
and
US.
And then even if they do know about it, unless they got over us a shock surprise, because of first past the post, even if Jill Stein got 33% of the vote, it wouldn't translate into seats in the Senate.
No, that's the awful truth, yeah.
Look at the UK.
Awful truth. Yeah.
What's the UK? The Labour government got a landslide with 30 something percent of the vote.
What, 12?
You've got the same situation in France.
Yeah. So
they blocked the right wing.
But whether they can make good on it, I don't know. It's a sorry mess, though.
The other sad thing about this conference, while that's been going on in Israel, is it's just been still slaughtered. They did a attack, hunting down a couple of Hamas of guys who are defence fighters, whatever you want to call them, and they killed 90 civilians were killed at the same time, and that's justified. That's just okay.
Just to take two people out.
Yeah,
and there's no evidence that they killed them.
No, but and I think that's awful. But when you look back at Dresden didn't have bugger all German military in there. It was a civilian target.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not the first time that we, the good guys, have looked the other way. We saw it in Hanoi. They just carpet bombed. You know, we did lots of things. It's not just like, that's a military garrison with our fair game. There's been, we've often taken out civilians and gone, how it is.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki was the same.
Japan's another one.
I think Hiroshima had a military governor, but that's only name that I've heard that relates to anything military there.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, it's okay. Someone got, there's a robber in a store. Someone has just murdered someone. They go into a store under Israeli logic, and maybe even American logic, is, well, we'll get him, we'll blow up the store. And if there's 80 other people in there, well, they're of the same ethnicity as him, so they must be part of it.
Yeah.
Boof. You know?
Yeah.
So if you want to have a Tad Hickey, and he's an Irish comedian. He's very good, and he's just put something out today on that sort of ratio of that it's okay to kill. He's used examples of the Israeli logic of you're allowed to kill all these innocent people just because they were there and they were the same race, you know?
You shake your head.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, that's me.
Speaking of things electorate or voting, I got my papers for the Kirikiriroa Māori ward by-election, and we have 8 people to choose from.
Okay, yep.
And the voting is STV.
Right.
So you can rate these people.
Okay, yep.
I've still umming and ahhing about who I will vote.
When is the final day?
I think it's
next week.
No, we got up to about the 7th, I think, of August to put in your voting paper.
Okay.
And where I work, we can drop off our papers there.
Libraries have them.
Libraries have them there. So 8 candidates. And I was looking for those who may have links to here, iwi hapu links here. Yeah. Say they're from this area.
Yeah.
But kind of got the idea that there may be about only 1 or 2. Rest tend to be from other regions.
Are the individuals still sitting on the mountain? They stand a chance of being re-elected, or they're all fresh?
One of the lady, I've forgotten her name, sorry, but she resigned, and so this is a by-election. So the Māori ward,
one seat. So right. These people have put their hands up to stand for this position.
But do you think some might be wanting?
Well, going on previous election, or the last election, one in particular would be found very wanting.
But okay, at the end of the day, it's democracy.
Yeah. And actually,
good on them for standing. It's like anything. You look at the UK election, they get the silly hat people and the big bear party. It's their right to stand, you know. People can decide who they vote for or not.
Yeah.
So the people that put their names up Gerard Gallagher, Maria Huata, Horiana Henderson, Ricky Manarangi, Danielle Marks, Donna Pokeri Phillips, Marion Ruri, and Oli Tiua.
Okay.
So those are the options we've got.
Right.
I hope there's a reasonable turnout.
That's what I hope too.
Because let's face it, the
the opponents of this will be low turnout.
Anti-Māori wards people, if they only get
waste of money, waste of time,
get an 8% vote.
Yeah,
they'll hammer it. Look at this.
Are you talking about the party whose leader is currently the acting prime minister?
Yeah. All three.
Yeah, but that one in particular.
So the people who are against the Māori wards would be, if it's a low turnout, they'll use this as an excuse. Say, look, this is a waste of taxpayers' money or ratepayers' money.
Yeah.
Time, effort, blah, blah, blah. It'd be an excuse to try and squash them again.
Yeah.
So I hope there is a good turnout.
Yeah.
Because he was in the news this week over Farm Act funding.
It doesn't have, actually, the turnout, going back to the turnout, we only have what was our turnout? 28% around 30% at the most. So they don't have to get a very high bar to compete with the general ward.
What makes up the government's been set at a low bar too, isn't it?
Indeed.
We might as well go to our almanac.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it's the 20th of July. Let me mark the page.
That's the date that resonates in my head for history. Was it Operation Barbarossa? July?
Yeah, well, it was summer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They started that campaign.
Yes, it was around about this time, eh? So.
Yeah, 20th of July. Yeah, may just have to look it up. Okay, couple in here, 1943, so World War II theme. Two Jewish members of the Veiled Commando work unit at the Sobibor extermination camp attack their Ukrainian guard and encourage other members of the unit to escape. The Veiled Commando were composed of 20 Polish and 20 Dutch Jews, and it supplied wood for the crematorium by cutting down trees and digging up the stumps. I won't say their names because they're rather difficult to say. Initiated the breakout with a knife. One had a knife in his boot. Several Polish prisoners were able to successfully escape. Two were murdered by Polish anti-Semites in separate incidents after their escape. Two others survived the war. After the breakout, only Dutch Jews who were unable to speak Polish and did not know the countryside were allocated to the Veiled Commando at the camp. In a 1979 Native American political prisoner, Leonard Peltier, escaped from the Lompoc Federal Correctional Institute in California with two other detainees, one of whom, Bobby Jean Garcia, was shot to death by a guard. Peltier, a leading member of the American Indian movement, had been sentenced to two consecutive life sentences for the deaths of two FBI agents. Yeah, it goes on. I don't want to read any more about that. But I think he may have been, Peltier's trial may have been riddled with inconsistencies and distortions. Yeah. So it may be a miscarriage of justice in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was captured about 3 days later.
And how? Was he killed? Shot?
No, he would have been, had to go back and serve his
time plus some,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. So that would happen on that day. Sorry, it had to be brief.
No,
because there's other things we need to talk about, because Mick's got them.
This caught my eye on Thursday. Christopher Luxon says New Zealand wants to be a force multiplier. I'm not quite sure what he means by that. For the US, fueling the concerns of an unlikely alliance, Helen Clark and Don Brash. Apparently, Luxon has said that the quiet part outlined that the United States, he views China as a strategic competitor. And so this has got a response from Don Brash and Helen Clark saying that, that they've come together because they criticise his policy, his foreign policy, saying that, and Don Brash goes on to say that, I just don't see China as an existential threat to New Zealand. But Luxon and his ministers have strongly contested this, insisting the government has continued with an existing trajectory and understanding of China and has rightly maintained the same level of interest in AUKUS the prior Labour government had. And both Helen Clark and Don Brash are curiously, this is according to Seymour, acting Prime Minister, both Helen Clark and Don Brash are curiously amoral about this particular issue. Their basic argument is America is a country, China is a country, we should treat them exactly the same. Or there's one of them that's heavily engaged in spying on New Zealand. It's not a democracy. I do think we have to take that into consideration. But this is just ridiculous.
Fear-mongering, yeah.
Yeah.
And China's our biggest trading partner.
Yeah, and we have far more Chinese New Zealanders in New Zealand than American New Zealanders.
And they must be feeling a bit uncomfortable at this.
Yeah. Well, it's embarrassing for them, you know. And I say, we trade with them. China has never, you know, America's always been trying to cajole us into having more military of their stuff here.
They can go away.
China's never said, oh, can we set up a base in your, somewhere?
Brash and Clark say just say that this is a hard reset of New Zealand's foreign policy and defence policy.
Kind of fits into that rule-based order stuff.
Yeah, this idea that we're going to be partners of AUKUS. No, we're not. We're going to be second-tier hangers-on.
Yeah, like a DAG.
Well, I'll go back.
I don't see how we're going to participate in AUKUS because they're already talking about in another article. They're expecting the New Zealand Defence Force to take 6-7%.
What did Seymour say about China? Was he inferring that China spies on us? But we're part of Five Eyes, and we've been notorious at spying on our friends.
He's completely ignored the fact that we're members of Five Eyes.
You can't tell me that America doesn't spy on us.
Spies on everyone. It's just a fact of life.
I think one accusation was that we were spying on the Brazilians at one stage, and they were highly indignant about that.
Yeah.
Us, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Just, may I say, watch this space, I guess, but two unlucky bedfellows, forgive the choice of phrase, but Clark and Brad.
Is that true? See how Rem is that?
Yeah. Horrible teeth and holding socks.
the imagery, no. What else again? Seymour, you're talking about Pharmac before we came in here. I've got the article here. Seymour urges Pharmac workers to ignore treaty. They really keep banging on about the treaty. Seymour says there's long campaign for decreasing the treaty's application in government, inferred paying Pharmac staff to consider the treaty was a waste of money as it wasn't directly tied to the agency's core role to purchase drugs and technologies. But surely the whole point of trying to adhere to the treaty is to take into account those of us who are not European.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the members of the board have resigned in light of that. Yeah. Dr. Jordan, I think his name was.
Yeah. Just see if he's got it. No, it hasn't makes no mention.
It was on the news. I saw it yesterday, but it was mentioned in another article.
So he's the other one. He's making out sound bites saying, which resonate with some people. Oh, he's right, you know.
No.
Pharmac's role should focus on delivering improved health outcomes. And most people would,
resonate with that. Yes,
you think it's quite reasonable. But the underlying argument is to ignore a document that caters for a percentage of the population.
Yeah.
Yeah. The R word comes to mind, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah. It's just, they keep banging on about the treaty.
Yeah,
so they got voted in. Let's face it, those three parties picked up a lot of the race vote.
But I still don't understand the argument that they're presenting.
Those spirits, eh? Yeah.
It's sensational. It's soundbite stuff.
Yeah.
That resonates.
Resonates with their voting base.
With the racists in the community.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's not as if the Maori population are getting a better deal than the rest of us under Pharmac. It's just including them in their policies in providing medication or whatever.
That's right.
It's not at the expense of Europeans, is it?
No, well, it's trying to improve Māori health statistics.
Yeah, but not at the expense of non-Māori.
No.
But the way they spin in this article, or the way he's talking, that's exactly what Pharmac is doing, what other government departments are doing.
Or we'll just remove the cultural element from it. While we're on the health issue, just a couple of things. I put it under this. More struggles for Strugglesville.
Yeah.
$5 prescription costs and increasing medical fees. Because I had to get some more medication.
Yeah.
And then on my medication, it cost me $5 for each. Margaret actually paid for it, but that was cool.
Yeah, per item.
Per item, yep.
Okay.
And then we learn that central government or Te Whata Oro have cut back funding for medical centres, and it's been cut back by about, 4 or 5%.
This comes at a time as a shortage of GPs.
Yeah, and there was also, and they spoke to this particular doctor, I think he's like their a spokesperson for that sort of profession,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that they'd already been reduced anyway by about 9% previously. So he's kind of made it a cut to around about 14% of funding across the board.
Yeah.
So what that actually means in real terms is that any of you wanting to see your doctor for consultation,
you might be a bit of a struggle.
The cost has gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is what will happen to your beloved tax cuts.
Yeah.
Have you seen, speaking of tax cuts, have you actually seen anything difference in your pay packet?
No.
Will we? So when does it kick in?
Is it the end of the month?
End of July.
I think it's the end of July, I think it is. Yeah. Unless I misread. I'm sure it's...
Oh, okay. Because I noticed my pension hadn't changed.
Because I think this month we get three pays because of the way the month is...
Yeah, it's quite a longer month. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the month, which will be two weeks away...
Somewhere. So you'll look and you'll see, $2.
Oh, yeah. I hope you haven't booked that trip to Rarotonga or...
Te Puke.
Te Puke. And the Prime Minister's there now, and he's on holiday. Te Puke? I mean, working on holiday.
There, would you? You wouldn't go to that sort of country club, would you?
Oh, Te Puke's one.
Who knows where he is? He's probably in one of his houses. Yeah.
It's just, it seems like this. So these cuts to GP surgeries of it, actual surgeries.
No, they're cuts around the funding. Yeah, because the previous government did a lot of work around funding medical centres and particularly those, what they call the PHO ones, primary health organisations. Yeah. And the more clients, more people they took on board, particularly though low decile, they would get more funding.
Yeah.
That was how the...
But this comes at a time when some GPs are burning out.
Yeah, we know that story.
So it's clashing at the same time.
Yeah, we know that. But then we have reduced funding of these operations.
It's going to put even more pressure on...
on them and probably on people who may...
Really need to get access to a GP.
Can't.
Yeah, it's just insane.
So the options are, well, you either pay up or suffer the consequences.
Or you drag yourself up to the emergency department.
Yeah, that will be...
Which is another thing that's spill over, inundated with...
Mm. Yeah. Because people can't afford to get their medication, people can't afford to see the doctor, so where do they go?
Yeah.
A&E. Mm. Yeah.
And so, they become a flashpoint.
So the problem just keeps spilling over.
Yeah.
There's no resolution to it, is there? There's no resolution around...
it doesn't seem to be any coordination, is it? It doesn't seem to be...
No resolution around why are there not many doctors out there, as you say, GPs?
Yeah.
I think there's quite a few doctors per head of population in Remuera.
You mean the shortage is not evenly spread across the country?
No, I think you'll find it's not
certain areas are correlated.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the latest stat, but I remember years ago being a bit surprised.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm quite glad that where I go that I get reasonable access. I mean, I can't see them straight away. Well, I don't expect to, but usually within a 2-week period, you know.
Yeah, I get my medication. I get my medication online and pay for it online. I've probably seen a doctor probably once or twice in probably the last, 2 or 3 years.
So okay. you go directly to your pharmacist's website?
I go to the patient portal.
Oh, yeah.
And manage my health, some people will have.
Yeah, well, I use that and I usually get to send a message to my GP to repeat the prescription.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
And they do, yeah.
Yeah, I think they...
And at the moment, I don't pay anything.
Yeah, and I think they're probably open to that given that there's so much pressure. They're trying to avoid the face-to-face stuff. If they can manage it that way, unless you need to see them urgently.
Well, yeah, that puts things on a... Well, pretty grim, though, eh?
It is grim.
The choice if you can't see a GP when you like to see him and you've got to wait till things are so bad that you may get seen.
Yeah,
well that's often the case. And then, of course, it's more expensive to fix.
And we have people that we deal with who owe bills to their medical centres because they can't afford...
Yeah.
To pay for the consultation,
and
then they get, and then the centre gets shirty with them. Oh, you need to pay this, or we won't see you, or we won't prescribe your medication.
So, access to a GP and medication is no longer seen as a human right, is it?
You kind of get that feeling.
It's like it's getting treated like a commodity, isn't it?
Kind of get that feeling.
Yeah,
the business principles in play rather than a humanitarian.
Well, I think some doctors go out of their way to try.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah, we know that. We know that for sure.
But it doesn't solve the problem because they end up doing extra work, get burnt out.
Yeah.
So the system is tottering.
Yeah. But we also need to go back to, why are so many people, how many people, why are people getting sick more? Is that the case? Or is it because we've had, our population has gone from 4 million to 5 million without the equivalent of doctors?
Infrastructure
is not just surgeries, it's doctors,
or
nurses.
Or living in substandard housing, which causes health,
All those sorts of things.
So, that's, we will look at that, we look at the front. It's like the food costs, we don't
look
at
everything else. It's always the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff.
Absolutely.
And this ties on nicely with Oranga Tamariki leaving frontline workers in limbo. Apparently the government, days before, 1,000 contracts are due, which ended June this year, 30th, providers were still in the dark as to whether their contracts would be renewed. And these contracts are providing counselling, youth programmes, support for vulnerable families, sexual violence prevention, aspects of foster care funding and support for young people leaving care. So the impact, and this is what must be all tied in with their budgets and tax cuts, whatever. So the impact is, again, on the most vulnerable in society.
Who always get it in the neck.
One organisation works with vulnerable children received a 15 to 20% funding cut.
Yeah.
It's now facing hard decisions about what to do as the demand for intensive support goes up.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah.
It just seems like this government is...
They seem to be knee-jerk
reactions and... Well, there's just, no coordination.
They're just appealing to their voter base.
Yeah, that's but all they're doing.
That's all they're doing. They're not.
So they basically really don't give a damn about these the most vulnerable in society.
Not really.
No,
you know, they'll do what they have to.
You look at the boot camp model. If you look at that, what is that actually addressing?
Yeah.
Is it really solved?
Well, addressing the mindset. The mindset of the voter base.
Boot camps could cost $100,000 per teenager.
Yeah, because some of those teenagers.
You made a comment. They'd rather spend the money on boot camp, $100,000 per kid, than keep the funding for some of these social programs.
Mm. Because some of those young people. On that boot camp program, or who are going to be on it, complex.
Yeah. Oh, they have
major problems.
Yeah,
and they reckon that how many weeks of boot camp will actually fix that issue?
It's 15 to 18 year olds start at the end of this month. I'm just trying to see 3 month residence and 9 month community stages.
So
Who's going to run the boot camps?
So it's over
private?
A year. It's going to, well, New Zealand Defence Force. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks. Orama Tamariki, you know.
Tamariki?
Yeah, it's a joint government department.
So the government's going to do it, not some cult's going to be able to do a boot camp.
That sounds like a charter school.
Yeah, so it's going to be a combination between New Zealand Defence Force personnel and Orang Tamariki.
The fear is the time.
Rather spend that money, rather than invest in frontline services.
Because some of those, I get the impression that the young people that they're targeting for that have got serious social problems.
Yeah.
They probably come from a poverty background.
We talked about this a couple of
weeks. Almost guaranteed.
Some of the personnel from the New Zealand Defence Force involved in the program have been leaving because they've been on such mental stress from dealing with some of these very troubled kids.
They're very troubled. They might have actually killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, extremely violent.
The trouble is, let's face it, if you're trying to help someone and you take them out, and it's like we see in the court system and everything, you take them out, they go to prison or you go off to give them help. But if they go back into the same environment...
It's just going to start all over again.
And if they're the right age, they'll have some success.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, if you take Benny out and he spends a bit of time doing something and he might learn some stuff, which might help him and will help him maybe.
But if he goes back into that original environment...
Yeah, you know.
You might slip back in old ways.
Well, it's easy to do. How much recidivism do we have in our prison population?
Quite a lot. And they'll pick up skills from these things, all right? Skills to probably help them to exacerbate that behaviour.
And it sort of gets compounded by the fact this situation, because the New Zealand Defence Force and Tamariki are getting involved and police are being involved. Is that the police are now being asked to make savings of $55.1 million from their annual budget. And that ain't mean they're getting rid of or reducing the number of office workers, technical support.
The Defence Ministry,
And Mark Mitchell claims that as part of our savings programme, police identified $55 million of savings in back office function. This amount has been automatically reinvested back into frontline police. So I don't think the numbers add up.
I suspect it's more to do with funding your tax cuts. Come again.
And if the police
get involved in more and more paperwork because they've got less staff it's going to impact on the way the police are going to be able to operate, surely.
Yeah, and it's basically you have more and more poverty. Hello, what's going to happen from that?
It's going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
There's lots of moving parts to that one, particularly that police one.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that they're putting more frontline police in these and doing beats in places like Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch.
Yeah.
But where are they pulling them from?
Yeah, so, I mean, robbing Peter to pay Paul sort of approach.
Kind of had that mentality. They said, but more police are doing training. Oh, yeah. And what about our friends in Australia?
They're busy recruiting.
because they're struggling with police retention numbers up over there.
So we'll end up training Australian police officers.
Basically.
Yeah. But they're just, it just seems a real mess. It seems to be making it worse, the problems.
They had a deal. There was a deal about police salaries.
Yeah.
And they were discussing that, and I think the police association weren't happy with that.
I thought they got offered a 4% or something.
Yeah, they wanted probably a little bit more than that, which I think is fair enough.
But the police association has previously expressed concern about job cut plans at the Department of Internal Affairs and at Customs and police agencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all
so it's trying to supposedly do more for less and fund.
But let's face it, even before this government came along, we've been struggling for decades. Doing things right because we won't increase taxation.
We won't make the proper investment.
We won't have capital gains tax. To actually, if we're going to have a decent society, we all need to pay.
Yeah.
But we don't. We're not all of us are willing to do that.
No, and they get voted in.
You're quite right.
You
know? This hasn't happened overnight. This has been decades in the making.
Yeah. The types of people you're talking about, Fred, are those who have portfolios which says, ammunition industry.
Yeah. But, you know, that's to me the tragedy is that this has been coming along like an unstoppable iceberg.
And something could have been done about it at the time.
And we were told, you have capital gains tax, we need more revenue.
So they're told how to do this. They've been told how you can fix this problem by doing some things, but they won't do it.
But what do we do? Oh, we'll just blame Māori and we'll have tax cuts and that'll sort. The country will be right then, is it?
No. This is a big shambles now.
Yeah.
This government is totally, you get the impression.
Incompetent.
Talking to people that this government is totally bloody incompetent.
Yeah, but okay.
And they seem to be focused just on tax cuts.
But okay, the only way it's going to change is if the people who don't vote.
Participate. Participation.
Participate. Otherwise, you hand it to people in Smugsville and they go, more policemen.
Our policies have been endorsed.
Yeah, by the few. Goes back to Trumpism. Goes back. Have someone to blame. We'll just blame the poor or blame the Māoris. You know, and that's it. You know, and we'll live in Smugsville.
Yeah.
Where we have enough police. We don't have any Māori.
All that comes along.
Yeah, because the thing about the police is they've just, it was a couple of months ago, they're saying that some of these police officers are now approaching retirement age. Are we going to be able to replace those individuals that retire?
And the real trouble is, I feel, one of the real troubles I always worry about, the more things get harder, the more it becomes attractive to have a right-wing fascist reaction.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we just need more, harder on them, sort them out.
Military style policing.
Yeah, which you heard from the Trump sort of thing. We'll take them out. We'll just sort them out. And that sort of where it leads to is that people go, look at the country's a mess. Instead of going, we need to pour more social services in, we need to increase our taxation, our revenue, we need to grab these people.
More prisons.
Mentoring, and we need to make sure they've got secure homes, warm homes, which would help everything. But what do? We react. More prisons, more police, and tax cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It doesn't work.
And it's not going to work.
No.
You know? It'll work for some.
From Smugsville.
And another thing, it was a Privacy Commission weighs on debate. Apparently, there's a select committee. Discussing whether insurers should be banned from asking people for the results of genetic testing. Deputy Privacy Commissioner Liz McPherson has told MPs, this was on Wednesday, this would ban insurers requiring people applying for insurance to hand over results of genetic tests they have had done, potentially leading insurers to deny cover or charge higher premiums. And no surprises, but the life and health insurers oppose the ban. They want to self-regulate. She gave the example of someone with a history of Huntington's disease, that if that person applying for insurance had been tested and cleared for the risk of developing the disease, they should be allowed to share the result with the insurance provider and maybe get themselves a lower premium.
Okay.
So what's your reaction? Should insurance companies start?
But is it the start? Is it the thin end of the wedge of eugenics?
Sounds like starting to
your daughter brings home someone, just get a get a blood sample from you to make sure you haven't got any...
Cause any diseases.
Yeah. You know, that can happen. And I'm sure it's sort of...
As I'm reading the article, I wonder if this applies to people of a upper socioeconomic group get grilled in the same fashion, or is this just... Yeah. The usual people at the lower end of the scale get...
We the people stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and I say, it smells like, because you look at dairy cows, and, you know, you have genetics to get good breeders and all that. And it does happen anyway without testing, your children go off to Varsity and they meet another Varsity child from Smokesville, and you go and have a job and you live in Smokesville. And that's...
But isn't that going the other way? Interbreeding.
Well, they get so interbred, but that's another point. You know, and you end up Boris Johnson.
I mean, that's what happened to the royal families in Europe. They were so interbred that they were passing around, aren't they?
Yeah, they haven't got enough
hemophilia around, It's unbelievable. Yeah. But this caught my eye just thinking the insurance companies want to self-regulate. Yeah, right, that's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because we've got health insurance at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not for us, it's for our daughter.
Yeah.
Because I presume there must be a series of questions as you
we wanted it for ourselves, but no, because we had certain issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, then, yeah, you get excluded from.
Yeah.
Or you've got to pay such a premium.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah. So we decided mm-hmm. we'll just keep that, and she can take it over once she becomes.
If she wants it.
Yeah. But it's actually been a quite good value for her, because she had her wisdom teeth removed.
Yeah.
Right. And they covered all that cost bar. Some surcharge we had to pay.
Yeah.
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 And they could have... Better than forking out the whole amount of money.
Yeah, it's quite expensive to have the wisdom teeth removed like that.
Oh, yeah. You'd be talking a couple of grand easily.
Yeah.
And then she's having this, waiting for this operation for her ankle, but that's been fully covered by ACC.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't have to go through the health insurer. But they're actually not too bad.
Yeah. I just think, you know, and I know what people have private insurance and all that, but it does still help weaken the public service.
Yeah, kind of in that aspect.
You know, because you want to go to a surgeon and say, oh, you got a two-year, three-month waiting list, but the same surgeon will go and do the operation.
For private health. It ends up creating a two-tier system, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And Muldoon always warned us of that. He, you need the wealthy to be going into the public systems as well to keep them strong. I got it. It's me anyway. Okay. What do you got, Craig?
We've covered all what I said here. I got
a couple of things. Just going back on Israel, the ICE International Criminal Justice came out last night, and declared that 11 to 4, that Israel, it was illegal for, unlawful for Israel to occupy the West Bank.
Yeah.
Which we knew would happen. Well, we didn't know it would happen, but it's illegal. You know, they finally come out and said, America and Israel and et cetera will probably ignore it.
Yeah.
But this is the top international court. So that certainly doesn't help Israel's PR, public relations, or public,
I don't think they give a damn.
They don't really give a damn. But it's still another now, because you're an Israeli and you're wanting to go as a tourist somewhere, and you know your country's guilty of all these sorts of things, it's not helping you. You know, how many people will be coming over here? It'll be embarrassing. Where are you from, Israel? Mm. They'll be nervous.
Yeah. I can remember back in the day when French people were rather nervous travelling around here.
Because
you could test him.
Yeah. And I remember even earlier.
I remember French people, my ex-mother-in-law, having a go at some French people. Yeah. You killed so-and-so, Rainbow Warrior, and...
When I was a kid, it was about Japanese were the same.
Yeah.
There weren't many Japanese tourists that came here, but there was a real sort of hush and a nush because of the war, outside of what happened in the war, of course.
I remember that conversation at a table with my great uncle and aunt, particularly from the aunt.
Yeah.
Very anti.
Oh, they wouldn't buy Japanese cars originally. Rather break down in the old British car on a weekly basis.
But at the same time, though, they were buying up scrap. I remember as a kid growing up, and then you could buy kids' toys.
So there was a plan to the bad cars.
Yeah. All these toys are made out of scrap metal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they weren't very safe. They were poo-poo. They're dangerous.
They're strong. The other thing on Israel was there's a guy, a Tory, and a conservative. He was an MP, Sir Alan Duncan. And they had a go at him because he, one of the few Tories, got up and had a real go at Israel So they had a go at him, and they put him under investigation for anti-Semitism. Well, they've all been cleared.
Yeah,
yeah.
That reminds me. There's a program Al Jazeera this week, Witness.
Okay.
About a young Jewish chap and his parents, and they go, and they were brought up as being a Zionist, and Israel was going to be the land of milk and honey. And they went to the West Bank and saw for their own eyes what was going on, and they were appalled. So people who are interested in this, witness on Al Jazeera. It's only half an hour.
He's an Australian.
They went over. They left the country. The father said that he was born in Australia the day some of his relatives went into Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And Australia at the time was the biggest overseas Jewish community.
A lot of Jews in Australia.
Yeah, that's right. At the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, the parents brought up being Zionists, thinking, you know, everything's good with...
Until they went, had
a look and saw for their own eyes what was going on, and they were appalled. So I recommend the program. It's only half hour, but it gets a point across.
Okay, now, and there's two other things. We'll stick to the UK. What do you guys think of this... these activists for Just Stop Oil and Extinction Rebellion, I don't know which one's which, they got the activists, they got caught out planning a motorway stoppage and everything else.
Right.
And they got fired. The head guy, Roger Hallam, got 5 years, and the other activists got 4 years prison.
What?
Yep. And this is, you know, under these sort of...
Conservatives put that...
The worry that I have is, okay, and they were, you know, they were planning something which was for their activism, and the argument is, well, they disrupt things and all that. But, of course, where does it lead?
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, because what's the next thing? Oh, we don't like them protesting about Palestine. Let's lock them up.
We don't like the T-shirts you're wearing.
It's a slippery slope. But 5 years in
prison. That's terrible.
Yeah, so five of them, I think 21 years in total. But
jeez.
That's a big sentence for activism.
That's serious serious stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's starting to, you know...
Going in that slope to, we'll lock all those people up there because we...
have a different opinion, don't we?
That's
terrible.
And the other thing was, there was a riot in Leeds in Hare Hills yesterday, and a big double decker bus got burnt and a police car got tipped over, and it was all to do. It's a poor area, lots of transient migrants, etc. And of course, they went in there to grab a couple of kids, one of the social services, which may have been fair or whatever, but it certainly blew out of hand. And then, of course, who's jumped in on it? All the far right and the, people who don't like people of colour. Maybe that's the word,
Oswald Mosley, Moses?
Yeah, have all jumped in on, you know, saying, oh, yeah, this is what you get when
democracy, everyone toes the line.
Well, one comment was England for England's English people.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's pointless.
Yeah. Well, what does it mean? You know, that means Palestinians should be able to have Palestine. Yeah. You know, it's...
Yeah, that person should ask, what's your heritage, mate?
These people want democracy on their terms, but no dissenting opinion, disagreeing. It's got to be us or them.
And even England was brought up about Islamic country in the Republican convention by a couple of speakers. You know? It's just a worry,
isn't it? It's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you could say the Republicans, First Nation people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But say England for England.
Yeah, it's a bit of worry.
It's amazing.
Does that mean anymore? Eh?
It's pointless.
It's meaningless.
Yeah.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's us.
Oh, we're out of time.
Yeah,
we're out of time.
Yeah, see you next week.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.